Welcome again, my friends. Colin Cook here, your host, and this is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with various addictions, whether it be alcohol, my friends, or drugs, or food issues, worry, or anxiety. We are looking at how the good news about Jesus enables us to stand with dignity before our Heavenly Father, clothed in Jesus' righteousness, and how then we can intercept our addictive struggles by faith. Now, this is all faith training, my friend. This is what this broadcast is about. We go through the book of Romans, training our faith. I urge you to listen every Monday through Friday, and of course anytime on the web, faithquestradio.com. And you will learn ways of coping, and more than coping, but intercepting your struggles with addiction so that they are less intense and less frequent, and therefore your addiction begins to die down. Now, my friend, listen in then each day, if you can. Learn over the weeks, over the months. You will get far more from here than you will get from a regular counseling session anywhere. I'm telling you that without any bombast. I simply know the reality of this. Now, we have finished with the book of Romans for the present. What we're doing is going into the psychological factors, just overviewing them, the three factors of spiritual delusion, spiritual delusion, emotional wounds, and escapes from pain. And we're looking at factor three now. And then after that, we will go back into the book of Romans in a week or two. We'll start all over again. All right. Now, I've talked about escapes from pain in just one program so far. What I want to tell you and remind you of is this, that there is no addiction that is a simple habit in itself, an obsession in itself, like drink or drugs or alcohol or food issues. Every addictive behavior is simply symptomatic of something deeper and farther back, and that thing that is farther back and deeper is an escape from pain. It may have been a pain of abuse in childhood, or abandonment in childhood, or highly critical and dominant father, or a dead father, or a divorced father, or a deadbeat dad, or someone who was simply distant. It may have been a mother who did not bond with her child because perhaps she was alcoholic and the natural affections of a woman, a mother for her baby, were lost. All of these factors create a sense of separation, of abandonment, of loss, of bonding, of a failure to bond. We feel afloat and adrift in the universe. That leads us to feel ashamed, as if something were wrong with us, that we weren't loved because we were bad. And that leads us to feel that even God may think we're bad, that we are so wicked that we are uniquely wicked and everybody else is okay. We therefore have a fear of God and a fear that He Himself has abandoned us because He hates. He's a demon God. And thus all of these are compounded, or rather they are symbiotic. They feed on each other, these three factors of spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, and the psychological addiction. Now, yesterday I talked to you about the fact that one of the major components of addiction is deception, that I must deceive in order to be an addict. I can't tell people what I'm doing. I can't reveal how I need to escape. I can't tell people how great the pain is within me that I need to try to forget for a certain period of each day. And I sometimes, if my deception involves other people, then I must also deceive them in order to get my way with them. Now, how can we talk about this, though, my friend, without feeling an increasing sense of guilt and shame? You see, there is a problem with psychology. The problem is that analysis can create paralysis. And I don't mean that in the usual sense of this sort of humorous phraseology, the paralysis of analysis. In other words, we analyze so many things that we just can't go anywhere or do anything because we're all the time analyzing what it means. I don't mean that kind of paralysis from analysis. I mean the paralysis, the psychological paralysis that comes from guilt. If I look into too many of my behaviors and see where I am deceptive, won't I be so guilt-ridden that it will make it worse? Well, it will, without Jesus. You see why no psychology can possibly be healthy without the wonderful news of the grace of God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, my friend. You can look at what's going on and the way you deceive, not as if you were uniquely wicked, but that you are one of the human race. All of us are wicked and broken down. But there is no condemnation for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you then what some of this deception looks like further. Regarding deception, we don't have to be necessarily overtly deceptive. Let's suppose a man is having a fling with a woman at work and he's married. Let's go with that for a second. And he comes in late and his wife asks him, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" Burdensome as usual, or as the usual troubles, and he's vague. He doesn't specifically state what's going on because he can't, can he? He has to be deceptive. Now, this is more true of people who have a habit that is very habitual, like alcohol or sex addiction. One has to be vague in order to keep the thing going. Non-disclosure, as they say in psychology sometimes, non-disclosure is a function of addiction. It is a function of addiction. I must not disclose myself. So, a person who's married to an addict does not know that the person, that her spouse has an addiction, will often say, "I don't think I really know my husband. I ask how his day was, and he never gives me any details. I ask him what the work's like, and he just says things in vagaries. He's often at the office so long, I wonder whether he really loves me anymore." But she isn't cluing in to the fact that something is far, something greater, something deeper is really going on. A man in addiction lives in an emotional cloud of gray. There is no pink, there is no white, there are no colors of subtle purples and violets in these clouds, it's just gray, it's vague. So, you see, deception is not necessarily a lie, it is simply a vagary. Now again, can you face that in your own life without feeling or being guilty? Because if you embrace guilt and condemnation, you will close out this reality about yourself altogether. You'll say, "I can't face that." We face these things more because Jesus is with us, because Jesus is revealing these issues in our lives so that we can start dealing with them and change them and get more honest. We won't do it completely. We won't do it perfectly. We'll still be working on something the day before we die. But thanks be to God, we are covered in the blood of Jesus, and we are simply growing Christians, accepted in the Beloved. So what do you do in that journal? You perhaps ask the Lord to guide you, and you say, "Father, I'd like to write down where I am deceptive with myself or with others when I want to go off into my escapes." I might say, "Oh, dear God, I use the word I'm busy quite a lot. How are you?" "Oh, fine, thanks. I've been very busy." "Have I really been very busy? Do I spend a third of the day working, a third of the day trying to work, and a third of the day escaping from work? Am I really busy?" Well, you say, "I can't tell the person that I'm in addiction." No, that's true. I'm not asking you to, once you conclude that you are being deceptive, that you start telling the person everything, other people everything. I'm really simply asking you to open up to God. "Well, Father, I'm not really busy, am I? I'm a third of the day working, and I'm a third of the day stressed about not working or trying to work. You see, we are people who have a difficulty functioning. And when we open that deception up to God, we realize, ah, Father, so you see, I'm dealing with a lot of guilt, dear God. I am carrying such a heavy burden around. I cannot face the world. I cannot face myself. Lord God, help me to face you. And as we do this in our journals and talk to our Heavenly Father comes through with words maybe like this. Come to me, you who are worn down and work hard, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Link up with me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I am gentle in my spirit, says God, and you will find rest for your soul. So you see, you hear these words, you're writing in your journal, and perhaps you begin to cry, or perhaps your shoulders begin to relax. Perhaps the stress drains away, or at least starts trickling away, because you realize you don't have to put up a front anymore. There is one being in the universe, our Heavenly Father, where you do not have to put up a front. That is beautiful, my friend. It is an awakening of the soul. It is realizing that you can be real with God. You say, oh, Father, I don't like this deception I go through. Well, what do you then do about it in relation to other people? You can admit that you have a struggle in your life, you have a personal difficulty. You don't have to tell them what it is. There is no, you know, certainly if you go to a support group, you'll start unveiling yourself. You'll never reveal all of yourself. Everybody realizes that, or at least should do. But there is one being in the universe that you can reveal your heart to, and it is our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. They will not clobber you. They will not condemn you. All who come to God will receive a welcome into his heart. Go forward, my friend, in faith. You have nothing to lose. Now, to help you to go forward in faith, friend, I have a special program that I am announcing, and it is group, let's not call it psychotherapy, group, let's not call it psychotherapy, beginning on the 16th of April, that's a day after tax day, that's a Thursday night, every Thursday night for 7 weeks till the end of May, we will have a group program in my home for 10 people, not less than 10 people and not more than 10 people. 7 o'clock till 8:30, 10 people will gather. Two of them per night will open up their lives, and I, your counselor, will help you to analyze your struggle, to look at it in different ways, to explore the background of it. Others will listen in and will learn from your story, and you will, of course, learn from theirs the following week as they unfold their story. And you will take notes, and others will take notes, not naming anyone in personal identity. We will all have a confidentiality signing so that nothing is explored outside of the group. And this will help you to examine your life. Now, I urge you to get on board and join this program, my friend. Let's not call it psychotherapy because I am not licensed in the state of Colorado. I'm not a registered licensed counselor or registered in Colorado. And so we're not going to call it psychotherapy because the psychologists have monopolized that word. All right, but I'm going to do more than they will be able to do because we know the Lord as well as know the psychological dynamic of these things. All right, so then you must register by the 24th of this month. March the 24th, register by then. Call me, 303-738-8694. $20 per session, my friend, 303-738-8694. I'll see you next time. God bless.